And we're calling this teaching, God's purpose is to get you into the right relationship with Him. God's purpose is to get you into the right relationship with Him. And we're going to look at this morning, how the Holy Spirit has come in which to ever continue working with us day and night, every second moment of the day, to get us into that right relationship with Him. And not only to get us into that right relationship, that we maintain, that we stay, that we walk in that relationship with Him. You see, the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us in the Spirit to work that. The same consecration and walk that Jesus had in His earthly life, He had that 24/7 relationship with God, that unbroken fellowship. That is the same working the Holy Spirit is doing with us. Now, the question is, can we believe, whatever our life, our circumstances, whatever we've come out from, whatever, can God do the same in my life as well? That is the question we're going to raise this morning. And for those who simply believe, who walk by faith, trusting God, the Lord can and will do it. So God's purpose is to get you into the right relationship with Him. That is what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, so often, the Lord is working to keep you into that right relationship with Him. And this will result in you keeping that right relationship, not only with Him, but also with others. Because if you are in right relationship with Almighty God, then you are in right relationship with others. You can't separate it. If you are in that relationship, then the presence of Almighty God that resides and lives in and through you is going to reach out and touch this dying world. God's love is so great that it embraces the unlovable. And so God enables us, empowers us to be able to reach out to the unlovable, which once you were, I was. Because this is ultimately what God is building in the body of Christ. This true unity and oneness of the Spirit, where we're not only in harmony, in love with each other, but our love embraces this world that in the natural is unlovable. Because I don't have to tell you what is going on in the world. Whether you read it in the news, you hear the news, or it's around you, it's in your family, your next door neighbour, whatever it is, there are appalling things going on. And is it getting any better? No. We are in the falling away that our Lord spoke of in the last days. So God has to empower us, not only amongst our fellowship as brethren, but He has to empower us to be able to embrace the wickedness that is in this world, not to accept its sin, but to accept and receive the sinner, and to love them with the love of the Lord. And that is why I've given this title this morning, because only unbroken fellowship with the Lord can do that. So if we have that unbroken fellowship, or we desire that unbroken fellowship, and we're pressing in for that unbroken fellowship, then that will result in us keeping fellowship with others, and certainly in the house of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 26. You know this very, very well. These are the parables that Jesus is speaking of. Remember the Beatitudes? Well, in these few chapters, he continues to extend these Beatitudes also in parables, which is the standard of our walk. This is a standard for us to keep, to learn from these teachings. And we are going to look first at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 26. And it's in the context of where murder can be found in the heart. If we hate a person, it is good as committing murder in the eyes of God. Now, under the new covenant, that is. But what is it saying in verse 26? Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Because that is the verse that we're really going to look at. But let's look at a few other verses. Well, actually, we'll go from verse 21 and we'll lead up into that so that we can get an understanding of what is being said there. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Recha, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, we glean from the principle here about when we don't deal with problems, where the Holy Spirit is highlighting, where he's revealing, he's showing, he's warning, and yet we just disregard it, or we put it to one side, or I'll deal with it tomorrow. And we have all been guilty of that one. So we see from this that God is determined to make you right before his holy presence. And we cannot escape the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit for even one moment. And this parable shows us why. Because if we do not take heed to the promptings of the Spirit of God, then it starts to get out of control. And that's really what this parable is telling us about. And of course, it's speaking about our relationships. It's speaking about our relationship with our brother, our sister, and so on. And if you have aught against anyone, then go and deal with it. At least from your side, you have asked for forgiveness or whatever it would be. From their side, whether they receive that or not, that is entirely up to them before God. But you do in your conscience what is right. That's the principle of what is being spoken of here. So therefore, we're under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit every second, every moment of the day, because it is our actions, our motives, that God always looks to. And they must be pure and right in the presence of Almighty God. And God is going to make you so sensitive to this, that if your motive, your heart isn't right, then you have the wherewithal, you have the blood of the Lamb in which to repent and get it under the blood of Jesus. That's what he's doing with us. That is what maintains and keeps this relationship 24/7 with God. So that he is working to make you so sensitive that if there is anything, or you have sinned, or it was not the right motive, or it was that little white lie that they like to call today, you get it under the blood of the Lamb. Immediately. You don't let it fester. You don't let it start to grow. Because that's what this parable is all about. So, having just opened up with that, it says then, back in that verse 26, assuredly I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Till you have paid the last penny. Now, what is our understanding of this term to pay, or paid? Well, it means you discharge. In other words, you owe money, you owe tax, and you've got to pay it. How it can be paid? Well, sometimes they break it up and you pay a certain amount. But the fact is that tax has to be paid. Or it could be a promise that you have made under oath. Of course, we don't take the oath today. Jesus makes that absolutely clear. But the idea, I'm giving the idea of what it means, this term to pay or paid. It means you promise what you have signed under oath. You will pay it, or you will give it. Or it means to give back, to restore, to recompense. And that is what God is going to look for until you come back to that standing in his presence. He's going to deal with you until you deal with unconfessed sin in your life. And he's not going to let go. How do we know? Because it says he puts you, if it gets that bad, he's going to put you in prison. And those conditions are going to work repentance, humility. It's going to deal with pride. That's what he's meaning here. Now, let's look at some scriptures to just highlight what we're talking about here, because it's very important to understand these words that we use. For example, we're dealing with the word paid. Let's turn to Matthew 18, verse 34. 18 and verse 34, and he says, and his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So the master pays, presents him over to the tormentors, to those that run the prison, know what they're doing, until all is paid. Now, you may be conjuring in your mind, can this be a God of love and mercy? Well, we're going to answer that in a minute, because I know some are probably thinking that now already. And that's how we think in our human way. But we're going to see that God always sees the picture much, much bigger than we do. I say this many, many times, but God's hand over your life, my life, is a bigger picture than we can ever see. The plan that he's working out, both individually and corporately, we haven't yet begun even to see how great and how big it is in what he's doing. And that is why he loves us. Let's look at also 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're still looking at this word, paid so that we can get a good insight and understanding of what it fundamentally means. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God wants to preserve you from that. He wants to preserve us from hell. And if it needs be that he has to allow you to go into prison in order for you to fully repent, to fully bow that knee, to acknowledge, then he will do that for a season, in order that it is paid, it is discharged. So what do we then conclude from all of this? Well, here it is. He urges you to come before him immediately when convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because the parable tells that they didn't obey. They didn't do anything about it. They never really listened to the word, to the teaching. So often, when God brings us under the unction of the anointing, many times it has our name and address on it, for the purpose that we can dialogue, we can go before God, and we can work it out before him. This was Israel's failure. Isaiah 2 tells us that he called them often to come before. Come, let us agree. Let us work it out. Let's talk this out. What is the problem? But they would not. They were stiff-necked. Does human nature change? No, of course it doesn't. That was Israel. Well, how much more now we, who are under grace, baptized in the Holy Spirit, experiencing the love and grace and mercy of God. So there we have that wherewithal to go before him. There are many, many Christians who in their hearts are angry with God. They're angry because they don't understand a loving, merciful God allowing what he does, or in my life. And the reason that they fester this, because they're not coming before him, talking it out. Is God going to cast you out of his presence because you're going to go before him and say, Lord, I'm angry, and I know this anger is against you, but I know also that this is wrong. And I know you are allowing this in my life because we need to talk. We need to get this out in the light. I need to tell you how I feel, what is festering in my life, in my heart, because I've nobody else to turn to. A loving father is not going to turn you away. Yes, there is sin. Yes, the blood of Jesus needs to deal with this. But the very purpose, the very fact that he's drawing you into his presence means that he's drawing you in to heal you, to restore you, to bring peace back into your life. That's what this parable is all about. Don't push God to the point where he has to allow you to be put into prison, handed over to those prison officers, because you don't want to be handed over to them. They couldn't care less whether you live or die or whatever it is. So the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us in the Spirit to prompt us. He has provided the blood of the Lamb. He has shown us that way of escape. We can confess it before him. And he says he will cast it away as far as the east is to the west. That's the cleansing blood of the Lamb. That's why we make so much of it. That's why we sing choruses about the blood of the Lamb. Because our covering is the blood of the Lamb. Not a man, not an elder, not a bishop, not a pope. Our covering is the blood of the Lamb, and his name is Jesus. He's the one that you come under. That is the covering today in this meeting, in this room. Amen. That is the one we're covered by. That is the one we're answerable to. And he uses men like me to help encourage you, to show you that you can and will be forgiven, that you don't have to go into that prison experience. Isn't it worth allowing God to do that? Yes, maybe he's chastening us. Yes, maybe we don't always want to hear it. But that's what a loving Heavenly Father does, because he loves us. And he's always showing us that way of escape. But sadly, at times, we will not to. That's stiff-necked. I'm not going to. I'm not. I might consider it tomorrow when it suits me, but I'm not. Oh, God forbid. But we've done that, and that's a clear sign we lack the fear of God. Because your very soul could be required of you this night. So I'm showing you how you can walk 24/7 with this unbroken fellowship with Almighty God. You say, yes, but you don't know my life. You don't know my background. You don't know the sin that I still battle with. Sorry, but you can still walk 24/7 before God. Because the nature of sin always wants to make us run away, to hide. And not only that, but it causes us to lie as well. And we do. But when sin is there, or you have sinned, or whatever problem you have, or you have against God, or you have against your brother, your sister, come before him. Talk it out. This is why a prayer life is so essential. And we had that prophecy, didn't we, this morning, encouraging us to be in prayer, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us with our prayer life for this very purpose. You need to tell God, I have a problem with that brother. I don't like him in the natural. He's not the sort of person I would ever make friends with. Well, if you look around in the house of God, now probably most of us would not put ourselves out to really make real friends of one another. That's just the reality of it. But what God has put in our hearts for one another, wow, it outweighs what we look for in friends. Because what we look for in friendship is gregarious. There's an old saying in the world, birds of a feather flock together. How true that is. Whether you have hobbies or whatever it is, you've got those worldly things in common. Well, our spirit, our fellowship, our love for one another is because Jesus has put that within our hearts. If Jesus loves you, then I love you. That is it, period. Now, if we can't reach that standard, then we know what to do. We go before him, and he will work it within our hearts to embrace, to love, with the love of Christ. He can and he will do it, because he's a God of miracles. And that is why you should expect miracles in your life. Your life should be supernatural. It is not like the world. You don't walk, you don't think, you don't act like the world. You have been drawn out of it, even though you're still in it. That is why he says, it's not by might nor by power, it is by my spirit, says the Lord. He does it, and he can do it. Expect him to do it, because he will. So when convicted, that parable tells us, obey, just deal with it. But sadly, if you don't, then that process begins working, where inevitably there is a penalty and you're thrown into prison until it's paid. What is paid? True humility, brokenness, and when you're in that place of faith. That is what God looks for. So it raises this question then, is this a God of love and mercy that I'm talking about? Absolutely. Because so often God allows this to show you that pride, that stubbornness, that selfishness that is in your life. And sometimes the only way that a believer is going to fully embrace it and see it and confess it as sin, sadly, they have to be, for a season, put in prison. No other way. See, God isn't going to let you go in there unless you can see there's an alternative. But that prison is experience is God's love extending even to those conditions. That is how great his love is. And if you're in that condition, or you are in prison, you're there because you ignored God, you didn't do anything about it, you covered it up, or you tried to run away, or whatever, then that is God's love to you. And that is a sign that you won't be there much longer if you have fully embraced and heard this teaching today. Because this teaching today comes with good news that prison door is soon to be open and you're going to be released, because we're showing you the way of escape. And it is true confession. It is bowing that knee. It is admitting, I was proud. I was arrogant. I thought I had all the answers. I thought I was in control. But I realize the folly of my ways. You see, that is what that prison experience does. It gets a true confession. In many ways, this is what God has allowed his ancient people, Israel. Israel, still at the present moment, is in that spiritual prison. She's there because of the stubbornness of her heart. God said, you're a stiff-necked people, and they perished in the wilderness. And even to this day, they are still spiritually in that place. But one day, they will look upon the one whom they had pierced, and they will see the stupidity of their ways. They will see that stiff-necked. They will see that pride. They will see that they thought, because they were chosen, the chosen one, they were infallible. And that true repentance will come again. That belief in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And what will God do? God will release them from that spiritual prison and restore them again as a nation. That is why, brothers and sisters, we pray for Israel, for God's mercy, because he's going to do it. So the good news is, brothers and sisters, we don't need to go into those conditions, because we're hearing the word of God. We are yielding over to what God is saying. It is so vital, as I close now with this teaching, that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It is vital. Because the reason is, it always has our name and address on it. That's why. That's why it is so important. So, God does love us, and his love is so great because the nature of his love is also deliverance. It is delivering us. It is bringing us out from our selfish ways. And when God has finally dealt with the Gentile church, when the last Gentile comes in, then he will turn his face fully to Israel and he will restore her. And I believe we are moving rapidly now to those very last days. We are not far away from when the last Gentile will come in. This is why the powers of darkness are fighting like they are. You see, the sad thing is, the powers of darkness can often see things much more than professing Christians should be seeing. We should be always one step ahead of the powers of darkness, keeping up with Jesus. But many of our brothers and sisters are not. Why? Because they are stiff-necked. They're stubborn. They're still too consumed with their self, their own life, what they want to do, and their future, and so on. But we have to be caught up with the affairs of Almighty God. That should be our priority, our main number one concern. It's about what God is saying. It's what God is doing now in this last days. It's being where he is. And God is restoring, he is building his church, his people, bringing us back under that apostolic faith and anointing, under his leadership, under his banner, under his guidance and direction, and not man or an institution or denomination. Because they are going to fall in the last days. You mark my words. These great ministries, these empires that you see around, where they boast on their sizes or boast how many they have in their congregations, the wealth that they have, you will see many of them falling in the last days. Because God is going to shake the powers that be. And what is one of the main powers? Money. When you talk of power, you talk of money. And money is going to fall. Shares will eventually fall. We're on the brink of it. You talk to any banker, you talk to any financier, and whatever, and the true and honest ones will tell you, we are very concerned about the future. You cannot live on debt. It has to be paid. So there we are. We are going to see a complete falling, and I believe it started, and it's a domino effect. It hits one after the other after the other. And not only that, it creates momentum. It gets faster. Just like a rolling ball that's going down a hill, it gets faster and faster and faster. And so that is what is happening. And the warning is loud and clear in the house of God. We still have a chance to get our lives right before him, as those wise virgins. This is why I keep saying, make sure you're in that spiritual ark. because the floods are going to come. Jesus said they will. It'll be like the times of Noah. That spiritual door to this spiritual ark, which is his church, is open. But one day it will close. Behold, I stand at the door. Jesus is that door, and it is open. But one day it will close. It will close, and it will be too late. So God is allowing all of this to bring about this true godly repentance from us. That's why he's exposing pride. He exposes stubbornness. He exposes still those areas where we love ourselves more than we love God. We know. It's not rocket science. We don't have to look for proof texts. The Holy Spirit is convicting, but you know what to do, because the good news is, come before me. Confess it. Bring it out into the light. My blood can and will deal with it, says the Lord. That is the good news of the gospel. We don't have to perish. We don't have to be our own worst enemy. But he's going to bring you out so that you're pure and spotless before him, as the bride is who makes herself ready. So the moment you are willing for him to change you and to completely fill you, that is where you finally let go. All the while we're holding on, you're still going to find that you could be put in prison. We have got to let go completely, because that is also a sign of faith. And that letting go, I acknowledge, doesn't happen immediately. It takes time sometimes, but you're before God and you have settled it. Lord, I've determined to let go in this area. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it will happen. Because that's what I believe for, that's what you can, and that's what you will do in my life, that's what you died for. I'm still believing it. I still know there's areas that still want to hold on, that I want to be in control, but I know it has to go. I've settled that one. Because I don't want to go into that prison experience. Who does? Who does? But that is God's mercy, love and grace, because he's going to have a people in this last day who are going to completely walk by faith. You cannot get your answers from flesh and blood. He's going to get us like the Apostle Paul, where he did not confer with flesh and blood, but he went into the wilderness where God met with him and God spoke to him. And that is what he's doing with you and I, brothers and sisters. We don't need man. We need God. His mind. What he says. What he's saying about your life. What he's saying about your family, your loved ones, your rebellious son, or whatever it would be. He will tell us. We don't need to keep running to man for the answers. In actual fact, you just get more and more confused, because they'll always give you conflicting reports. You've only got to look at politics. How confused it is. We have the Word of God, the Word of truth, which is setting us free. Hallelujah. And God is going to move heaven and earth for you. He's going to move heaven and earth to get you in the right direction, on the right road, with your eyes fully looking to the Lord Jesus and none else. That is what this relationship is about. That's why we're calling this teaching, as I close, God's purpose is to get you into that right relationship with him. 24/7. Don't try and work it out how that will happen, How can that ever be achieved in my life? I just believe that it will, and it is, in Jesus' name. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. I believe this is why so many don't mature in the faith. This is why so many are not growing spiritually. We need to have a knowledge of what to do. And this is what you do. You keep close accounts with God. Don't let it fester. Don't let it build up. Because it becomes like a ball going down a hill, and it gets faster and faster until eventually you are handed over, you're in prison. And there you have to remain until that brokenness is there, accomplished. We don't have to go to those lengths. Let Israel's history be a warning to us. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Lord, you are such a loving and merciful Father. You know us more than we even know ourselves. You know those weaknesses. You know where the enemy at times tries to hold us. You know, Father, where there's still fear. The thought of letting go is just traumatic. But Lord, that is no surprise to you. Help us, Father, to always be open and honest before you. And when the Holy Spirit is highlighting those areas in our lives, don't let us run away. Don't let us pretend. Let us come before you and be completely open and honest. Maybe some of us just have to say, Lord, I don't want to do this. It's not in my heart, but I see in your word this is what you require of me. Help me. Put it within me. Change my mind, my heart, my thinking. You will do that, Lord, because you are a miraculous God. You are ever working miracles in our lives. The very fact that we're in this room today confessing you as our Lord and Savior tells us that you're a miracle working God. It couldn't happen otherwise. So, Lord, these areas in our lives, these unconfessed areas of sin that still go on, Lord, help us to bring this out in the light before you, because you don't reject us. You don't mock us. You don't make light of it. You don't make fun of it. On the contrary, you provide through the blood of Jesus that way of escape, deliverance, and change. That is why you're a loving and merciful God. And Lord, if we land up in that prison experience, it's our own fault. We didn't take heed. Help us to take heed. Whatever it takes in our hearts, Lord, just work it so that if we sin, if we fall short, if our motives are not right before you, help us to confess and get it under the blood of the Lamb, we ask. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Because I think the Lord's clearly shown this morning that he loves us with a Father's love. He wants none of us to miss it, to perish, or to be thrown into that spiritual prison experience. He's provided the way. It is in the blood of the Lamb. You apply that blood. You confess that blood. Believe in that blood, because it is your overcoming. The blood of the Lamb keeps you 24/7 in that relationship with Almighty God. That is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, love our lives even unto death. Hallelujah. Well, you all of you have a